All right, Chris Raby show on a Tuesday. It's March 30th, 2021. And we're going to get right to our guest, Chris Ranji, longtime radio host in St. Louis and Chicago. And we're all over the place talking March Madness, talking NBA. Baseball starts in a couple of days. Hello. And we dialed up Ranji. And the thing that Chris and I always do is we always talk for so long before we generally start recording or start the interview that I get frustrated when we broach topics that we should just find our way upon when we're talking and recording. So we just started recording. Also, don't worry, disclaimer, my audio was funky for like the first 15 seconds of the interview. Then it's perfectly crystal clear. So your ears will enjoy the rest of the audio experience. And that's now Chris Ranji. This episode of the Chris Raby Show on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com.
You know what? Save it. I need to know why you don't. You know what? Ranji.
Okay, go.
So we'll start with just saying that you ate hibachi tonight. And the way our conversation started was with me saying, are you an office guy? Because there is a great episode. Chris Ranji with us, by the way, on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com.
Oh, we're starting now? Is this
it? Chris Raby show.
Is this the show?
We started three times. Well, we were supposed to. We had a couple false starts earlier. But you're not an office guy?
No, and it's nothing against The Office. Everybody tells me it's my kind of humor and I would like it. I just almost feel like the time passed for me. Because when the Office was out...
It's true. It's really hard to watch shows that were incredibly successful now, either in syndication or on demand. It's challenging.
Well, I mean, they're all online, but...
Exactly, but like, you moron!
Well, that's not the point. The point is, it feels like the time's passed, you know? Everybody's talked about it. I've seen all the memes 1,000 times. Everybody references it all the time.
Okay, here you go. So,
yeah, I think it's over for me. And when it came out,
it almost
out,
sounds like you kind of wear it as like a badge of honor.
No,
because I will admit, I have never seen the movie Titanic. I've never seen moment of it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, the reaction that I get from people, it's almost like saying that I never fully learned to read in grade school. People are so taken aback. And sometimes I kind of relish the horror from people.
Okay.
So I wear it as a little bit of a badge of honor, but you're saying you don't do that. You're just like,
no, it doesn't do anything for me that I haven't seen it. It's just when it was out, it happened to be a time of my life where I really wasn't watching a ton of TV.
I didn't watch Seinfeld live and I love it.
Yeah, but it's always on. The reruns are constantly on the time you come home from school or work or whatever.
Ranji, I just know that you'd love it. And like this happens with stuff, because I think sometimes a little part of us wants to be like, well, I'm not, you know, one of the whatever sheep or one of the, you know, I think that right now the show I feel this way about is almost Ted Lasso, because everyone who watches it tells me
it is really
unbelievable.
They say
it's unbelievable, but everyone says, man, it's unbelievable. And I didn't think I'd like it that much.
That's exactly how I felt. Yeah.
See? Yes. And I'm like, well, maybe I'm the one. But like, why would I withhold an awesome TV show from myself? Like, who cares when The Office was on? Who cares if everyone tweets the memes all the time? You could have, you know, dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of hours of unbelievable entertainment that you've never seen before. I pray that one day I could go back and rewatch The Office or Breaking Bad or Friday Night Lights for the first time. And you have that chance.
Yeah, I think when I say the time has passed, what I'm saying is I've totally lost interest. And if I'm going to start something, it's not going to be that. Like, it's not going to be something from 15 years ago. It's probably going to be something more similar, more, you know, more recent.
Okay, so then you wouldn't watch The Wire, Sopranos, like you would discount any of those.
You know, I am going to go back and watch The Wire. And the
why? It was shot so long ago.
Well, because I already watched the first season of it. And then there was a time I didn't have HBO. And so then I stopped. And now that I have all of that available to me, I'm going to. It's just that other shows which are newer, they end up taking precedence, so I go to them first.
Okay, well, here's another great thing about The Office is that quick episodes, 21 minutes or whatever, and it's serialized. However, it's not like The Wire, where if I look down at or Game of Thrones, if I look down at my phone for 5 minutes, I need to restart the episode. I need a recap. I need you know, yeah, you can drift in and out. You don't need to be a captive audience 100% of the time. And I'm not sure anyone has any bad things to say. It's probably one of the most universally well-liked pieces of pop culture in the last two decades. I just don't know why you would withhold that from yourself. If I have a delicious pizza and I say, do you want some delicious pizza? And you say, no, because 5 minutes ago, I didn't think I was going to have any pizza. Like, you just are an idiot no pizza.
A better analogy would be, hey, there's this amazing pizza. Do you want some? And I say, maybe, but I'm having a fantastic steak right now instead. And then done with the steak, somebody offers me a plate of pasta. So what I'm saying is that I have other things that can fill the void. I don't have to.
All right. So tell me what's up in the Ranji Q that is, you know, so just beating down The Office and not allowing them the chance to strut their stuff.
I'm about to, and I think it's five seasons in or six. It's five or six. I'm about to start season five of Peaky Blinders.
Boy, the Order of the Peaky Blinders.
Yeah, it's really good. And I initially, I didn't, and I rarely have had to do this, but I did finally give in to turning on the subtitles.
Oh, I love because it. I go everything.
I don't do that. I hate it. But there are times where they're, you know, in the way they're speaking, it's the accent is very difficult to pick up sometimes. So,
well, especially early in a series with names of characters, it's a game changer. But why do you hate it? I am an advocate that
subtitles, because I think it's distracting unless I need it to hear what they're saying.
Why is it distracting? You are so simple-minded and pea-brained that you have to stare at the words.
Right. Because if the words are on the screen and they're constantly changing and flashing, my eyes are drawn to it. And I don't want them there if I don't need it. If I can understand.
Chris, you know how to drive a car. That takes like multiple sensory decisions to fire at any given time.
Yeah, it sure does. But a lot of those things, you can't like eliminate them. I can very easily eliminate subtitles from a screen if I don't want them. You see what I'm saying?
Man, you kind of sound like a tortured soul right now. You're watching Peaky Blinders. You're watching Peaky Blinders and you love it, but you hate the fact that in order to love it as much as you can, you need to do something that you hate. Like, if you didn't have the subtitles, you'd love it a little less because you wouldn't get the full enjoyment out of knowing exactly everything that's going on, because those guys are drunk all the time doing opium and talking like crazy people.
Yeah, I'm doing okay with it. You know, I'm invested in what happens with all these terrible people.
So Peaky Blinders, what else?
Well, that's it right now. I mean, I got that. And
so clearly you are.
I don't know where I'll go next.
Yeah, but you are in the process of accepting applications for your next.
And I don't think Office is on the list. Here's the other thing about The Office.
Wow.
It's not like I've seen zero Office. I have seen episodes along the way because, you know, I'll be at somebody's house and they're watching it. And I'll watch with them. I don't know backstories, but I can tell you this.
Everywhere you go, your friends are just popping on episode of The Office.
I'm just saying, and you know, over the years, I am like every time it's been on, I don't know what it is, but the entire Pam and Jim side story, just the two of them flirting with each other. I don't know what it is about it, but I'm like, okay, get this.
Chris, this is a spoiler alert. They end up getting married. You know, that explains some of the connection.
Girls talking about like, oh, how adorable Jim is. Look, let me tell you something right now. Jim with that haircut at that time, if that dude was in the bar looking like that, you wouldn't look at him twice if you were a woman, Except, you know, he was an actor. That guy with that haircut back then, there's no chance anybody's looking twice his way unless they knew he was famous. So it always drove me nuts that people are always like, oh, I love Jimmy so adorably.
So he wasn't even like, he wasn't really in other stuff.
No, that was it.
To be fair, we are both big Leatherheads guys, but yeah, he wasn't really in anything
else.
What
the hell is Leatherheads? Is that a movie?
Dude, Krasinski, Clooney, old timey football with leather helmets.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen it.
No one has.
And I like a good Clooney film.
That show might have the highest ratio of people that are known as their character from that show because there are so many characters.
Well, Seinfeld.
No, but there's only like, there's the core four.
Like more of
total.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Total.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
You've got The Office. You've got, man, I guess it would almost have to be a sitcom because you would need
It would be a sitcom or it would be Game of Thrones because all of those and it's over pretty recently, but all of those people are pretty much just known for those things.
Unless you didn't have the subtitles on and then you have no clue who's anyone's actual name was.
Right. Right. That's right.
You know, this is what I've been doing rather than being, I guess, entirely locked in on March Madness.
Yeah, well, you can watch these shows whenever you want, Chris.
I was thinking about this today. I was trying to think how much I cared about the tournament the last time it was a normal tournament. And if I care or enjoy more or less this go round, there was an assumption, I think, that it was going to be like rain for the fields that had been dry for months, getting the NCAA tournament back this year. Yeah. And I'm just kind of like, yeah, I mean, it's cool. Maybe it's because I was not nearly as connected to college basketball this year. I don't know.
I don't know if I was more excited for it this year than I was in the past. About the same.
I think I'm way less because I would always, it'd be a social thing. I mean, you and I watch games at ITAP.
Yeah, that's true. And that was an interesting thing. Maybe we talked about this, I think the last time on your podcast, or maybe it was with somebody else. I don't know. The Marist poll where they asked people about, they asked people about, you know, if you're watching as much sports, and this was done at the end of last year. And people said they were watching less. And one of the biggest reasons, and it was something like 30%, I'd have to go back and look, but it was they are watching less sports because they can't be with other people, because they can't be out at the bars or they can't socialize. And, you know, they're keeping their circles small so that the interest isn't there as much. And I totally agree with that. But I think for this tournament and, you know, me having the time at the moment, I watched most of the first couple of days and then, you know, the Thursday, Friday game, or no, it was Friday, Saturday. And then this weekend too, you know, this past weekend, Sweet 16 and the 8, I think I watched just as much as I did in the past. I didn't feel like I was starving for it. Oh my God, thank God it's back, because we've had other sports since probably July, I guess, whenever the baseball season started back up. I can't remember exactly, but right there in the middle of summer, you know, August and September, I guess, is when it was. I feel like we've had sports long enough that I wasn't thirsting for it, but
yeah,
I think if maybe there had been nothing
so
up until now, and then the tournament started and that was our reintroduction to sports, I think everybody would have lost their minds over it.
Okay, but the inverse of that and kind of the inception version of that is that we've had them for a long time, and for as much volume that we've had, and there have been some really, really unbelievable moments across all of sports, the thing that everyone talked about how big of a bummer it was going to be, like the no fan stuff, we really haven't made a ton of progress, you know, in the big picture on that. So I'm thinking like maybe it's half of what you're explaining, and then it's half of people being like, yeah, it's been awesome to have March Madness back, but it would still be way more awesome with fans.
And
it's still like, maybe we won't have fans next year, or maybe it will be 3 years until it's full capacity. So it's almost like, yeah, this is great, but it's a bummer thinking about how much greater it even was because of the atmosphere.
It is a bummer. I don't think it's affected me that much because any amount of people I can get in the building that makes some kind of natural noise, I think makes a difference. And I don't know exactly what the capacity is, but obviously it's nowhere close to being full in Indianapolis or in Indiana. I think it makes a difference to the quality of the broadcast. And by next year, I assume buildings are going to be full again. But the other thing is, honestly, I used to cover a team every day that for the last couple of years I was doing it would be lucky to get 15,000 people in the building. So it's not, you know, it's not like I'm not used to there being no fans in the building, you know, like I'm used to being at events like that. And 15,000 people in a baseball stadium can make a ton of noise.
Oh, sure. Yeah. But, you know, like Oral Roberts in Florida,
it would have been cooler.
Even though it's the same outcome as a neutral party, I have a lot less interest or a lot less reason to be captivated by it with no fans. I don't know, man.
I kind of feel like I've gotten used to it. The idea there aren't.
And the networks do such a good job.
Yeah. I'm not. I think it will be noticeable when people are back, when they are like really, truly back. But in the time being, it's okay. I've gotten used to this, and I guess I just don't notice it as much anymore.
How much NBA do you watch right now?
I'm watching a decent amount right now. I'm actually watching the Bulls and Golden State as we speak.
Perhaps some of the. How do I put this the right way? Perhaps people that would generally be just college basketball fans, right? Like just watching whatever they can. They love the college game, blah, blah, blah. Maybe this year, next year, some of the limited options to watch games and some of the cream rising to the top, so to speak. Mm-hmm. I wonder if we'll come out with more people who give the NBA a shot. Like, for instance, St. Louis folks who love college basketball have no use for the NBA. I wonder if, I don't know, some of the limited options and some of the rationing, so to speak, of the great college players and some of them that we'll hardly get to see over the course of their college career because of COVID. I wonder if folks will, you know, maybe kind of matriculate into the NBA with those guys.
I don't know. Maybe the better Bradley Beal and Jason Tatum get, because they're so good, both of them. Beal is great right now. Maybe the better those guys get, you might get more and more people to watch. But it's sports is region specific. People want to watch teams that they have a rooting interest in beyond individual players.
But then why is the argument that, like, I love the college style and not the NBA? Like, essentially you're saying you would rather watch, like, the Andy Griffith Show than The Office, because if your argument is the Andy Griffith Show is funnier and better and The Office is a poor product, like, subjectively, that's wrong. Like, subjectively, the NBA is a better basketball product by 10,000,000%. And that's when I get, like,
correct,
a little just, like, confused.
Yeah. The college game is, I'm sorry, you might have more of an interest or your heart is with a team like Mizzou or Illinois or whatever. Like, you're invested in those uniforms. Maybe you went to school there or you grew up watching and, you know, or you paid tuition, you know, whatever. I think the investment is not in the game itself. The investment is in the laundry more so than maybe any other sport. And it's in the atmosphere, because college games are a ton of fun. The NCAA tournament is a ton of fun. The event is probably, especially the first two weekends. And I would say really the first 4 days are my favorite. I like the Final Four. I like the championship game, but the chaos and the uncertainty of that first 4 days of the NCAA tournament is the best. It is the best in sports. It's better than the Super Bowl. It's better than
the first couple of nights of a vacation.
Yeah.
The welcome party and the rehearsal dinner are always a little bit more fun, big picture, than the wedding. Because at the wedding, you're always thinking about having to wake up, go to that
early
brunch the next day and go home. Like the final four, I'm always thinking about like, this is almost over. It's almost like as a kid, like Christmas Eve was better than Christmas because Christmas was still coming.
It's the anticipation. And I just think that first 4 days is it's incredible theater. And, you know, there are games happening at once and you can let's check in with this game and back to this one. And oh, now we've got final 2 minutes and it's close. Let's go here. Like
it's
come full circle.
It's usually in a communal experience, like whether you were in high school or at a bar or at work. And the annoying guy at work is telling you that in one of his brackets, he has Michigan State winning, but in two of them, he actually has them losing in the first round. I want to have to not give a shit about that guy. And this year we didn't have that chance. Really. We're not all standing there with our brackets in front of the TV in the break room.
No, of course. And I think that's break the room. Reason.
Sorry, Ranji, office reference.
I didn't get it.
Jim and Pam, just classic break room sparks.
I see. I love it. It's great. I'm gonna go watch it now.
I gotta get back to Peaky Blinders, mate.
The thing about the atmosphere and going back to your original question or your idea of the NBA, the game itself just being infinitely like if you're just watching basketball, it's clearly better because the guys are bigger, they can shoot better, they're more athletic. It's just better. It's a cleaner game. It's just better athletes. I think the reason some people like college is the idea of them being amateurs and not being paid. And it's the old greedy athletes. I don't like greedy athletes, and which is all nonsense, but that's how some people think. And they think here are these collegiate players who don't care about any of that stuff. They're just playing for the love of the game. And I mean, yeah, maybe some of them are, but to say NBA players don't also love what they do, that's crazy too. You don't play that long in your life unless you love what you're doing. And yeah, of all the NBA players, you might find a couple that don't love it as much as everybody else, but you just don't get to that level unless you love it. There's a lot 100%. Of work that goes into it. So
not just love it, but be obsessed with it.
And you can't be, it's so, well,
which
hard
is why
to be,
we love the college players because they're obsessed with it. And it's just kind of cute that they kind of suck.
Yeah,
sometimes.
That's why people think it's better. And I don't think it's better. It's just, there's the atmosphere sometimes is amazing. And I think it can be better sometimes than NBA games, but it's just, it's different. It's just a different kind of crowd. But I think the game itself is, it's cleaner. It's better, more better athletes. And I like it. I enjoy it a whole lot better.
Bulls are just caught kind of in sports purgatory lately of being not crappy enough to benefit from being crappy and not good enough to be relevant. Just kind of stuck in this, you know, weird area of draft picks and free agents kind of tricking fans into thinking that they might come here. And they just have kind of been just kind of boring. But
yeah,
listen, if you are just a basketball fan, and I will admit how wrong I was, Zach LaVine is so incredibly fun to watch. And
yeah, he is.
If you're someone who appreciates, for instance, college basketball, you should appreciate the maturation of Zach LaVine, how just much better he's become as a basketball player, or how a new system has allowed him to be, you know, a well-rounded basketball player. But I mean, shoot, man, anyone that says, you know, oh, the NBA doesn't play defense, watch freaking Zach LaVine play defense and then watch what he goes and does on the other side of the court. He is just unbelievable to watch, man. And
yeah,
I was totally wrong. I thought, and maybe I sounded like the college fans I'm criticizing, I would have said a couple of years ago that, you know, I don't know, he just dunks a bunch and shoots threes. Well, he still does that, but he does a bunch of other stuff and he's really awesome at it too.
Well, all right, let's look at the Loyola game the other day. That was a terrific defensive effort. And how much not fun was that game to watch? It just wasn't. Like, I mean, it was a great defensive game, but it kind of stunk. So I don't think it's more fun just because guys are constantly locking in on defense. And part of the reason they do it in the college game is because they have to. You know, they're not as talented as the NBA players to score like those guys do. And there are some, if you really lock in on some of the NBA players and watch them like one-on-one D. Like LeBron in his career is awesome at it. You know, Zach LaVine, as you mentioned, awesome at it. Ron Artest back in the day, that was that dude will shut you down. I mean, like those are, you can find really good defense.
Michael Jordan, you know,
Michael Jordan, that was the thing. He was more excited about his own defense than he was his ability to score. Or he, at least he said he took pride in that over everything else. And okay, I believe him, I guess. But he worked.
Maybe
really
it's because you take pride in like the thing that people overlook. And even Michael Jordan, which is crazy to say, like the greatest maybe individual athlete of all time, people would be so fixated on his offense that they would just disregard, not only disregard his defense, but disregard the fact that he's perhaps one of the greatest, you know, individual defenders that league has ever seen at that position.
Yeah. And I think that a lot of people do understand that, but it's not really the stuff that makes the highlights, you know, that's what you're exposed to most.
And it's when
snippets of the game.
It's when we knew less, right? Like about defense. And it was just like, I don't know. What does 2.1 steals a game mean? I don't know. Is that good? Is that good compared to, you know, league average?
And a lot of offenses are more elaborate and shooters are better. So as far as defense goes, it's not impossible to play good defense, but it's really hard now with the way guys can shoot, because, you know, you can't just clog up the middle of the court and say, well, you're not going to get a close up shot. They'll just say, okay, well, I'm going to back up to 25 feet and shoot it over your head. And there's nothing you can do about it. I mean, these dudes are just so damn talented. I think, honestly, I do think, to me, and I know people who love hockey are going to freak out.
You're going to tangle with hockey guy. Let's go.
Well, I mean, you cannot, like, hockey guy, you cannot have a discussion with diehard hockey guy, because they will lose their minds when you suggest somebody in another sport might be a better athlete. To me, it's not about that. It's not about how tough you are and how much pain you can withstand. It's
hockey
about,
guy makes it about
like
that.
Taking a 6'10" frame of like high 200, like 280 pounds. And that dude being able to jump through the roof and being agile enough to dribble a ball and just
on a dime.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Like, and shoot, and then to shoot
contort
from a distance.
Their bodies. And those, I used to, when I was covering the Grizzlies, I'd be sitting out courtside way early before the game. And they had this like backup Iranian center named Hamed Haddadi, who was like 7'3". He was literally the last guy. He was like the guy like Rusty LaRue on the Bulls, who the game would be so far out of reach in either direction that the fans would start chanting like ha da di ha da di, and it was like a joke. Like everyone would be laughing as he came into the game. He would stand at the top of the key before a game and make like 20 three-pointers in a row.
Yeah, but he couldn't do it in a game, right?
Couldn't do it in a game, but
right.
You but still need to realize, even though this guy looks goofy and is 7'3" and looks clumsy and uncoordinated, he's one of the best like 300 humans at shooting a basketball on the planet. And even though he can't do that in a game, he's so freaking naturally talented. He probably averaged 50 points a game wherever he went to high school, wherever he went to college. He was the best player on his team. Like, but it's funny because we don't compare them to the rest of the world. We compare them to the rest of the NBA. You know, and it's
being
like
graded on a curve.
Yeah.
And you know, our dumbasses couldn't go to the top of the key and shoot 20 threes in a row.
Well, speak for yourself. I am a walking bucket.
No, you can't. No, you're not.
That's true.
No,
I can't
you're
even.
An embarrassment.
I'm a strictly half court only pickup player these days. It's gotten to that point.
Okay.
I can't make it up and down, man. It's bad.
That's fair.
Yeah, but it's startling.
I am super impressed with NBA play. And it's not to say I'm not impressed with, I'm impressed with football players too. The absolute beating those dudes take.
Yeah. But it's just so much of it is not like individual, like beautiful highlight reel skill.
That's why this
Top Shots thing is amazing, because there's so much theatrics to it. Like Steph Curry will not only put up the amazing shot, but then he'll turn around and do like finger guns with his back turned to the basket while the ball is falling through the hoop.
Yeah, and basketball allows for attitude because you can make your shot and then you got a couple of seconds to ham it up a little bit before you have to really do anything else. I like that. I think it's fun. I also think NFL receivers
and cornerbacks
and corners, those guys, because I'm talking about like the amount
the original
of
like Deion Sanders, man, like created prime time. Chad Johnson, Chad Ocho Cinco, whatever, when he was in his heyday with the list of corners Megatron in his locker, he's the greatest, man. Yeah. Talking like, trash.
And I think here's what it's about. Or a lot of it is about this for me. When I say putting, you know, you have a 6'6" dude, or, you know, if you're a receiver, you're probably 6'3", 6'4". To take that and then be coordinated with it is super impressive. How many big dudes do you know in your life who are like 6'7" or taller and are just goofy?
It's a shame that those the guy
in front of the other, like that's.
Or how about Runch? How about the opposite? How about the 5'9" corner guarding the 6'5" receiver?
That's impressive.
I can't do that either.
And again, I love you, hockey players. I love you. I know you're coordinated. I know you're capable. I know you're really, really good. And some of that stuff is impressive. Connor McDavid is amazing. I totally get it. I just, to me, I find these big dudes able to have coordination.
To
be 6'10" with coordination it takes so long from the message to get from your brain to your hands to move in a certain
you
way.
You can't even watch subtitles and not be
subtitles.
Completely fixated. And we saw that in the bubble last year, man. Just the basketball was so good because not only was it these guys and these world-class players, but then they're not traveling. There aren't fans. They're playing in what was the equivalent of a practice gym. So they had the same shooting background for 3 months. And like a science experiment, you know, around the league, like the true shooting percentages went up because guess what? These really, really, really good players, when you even, you know, turn the notch up a little bit and make the environment more advantageous, they're going to get even better at basketball, which I just found awesome. Like it was, that was just a really cool kind of byproduct of the bubble, I thought.
Yeah. And I like the game. I wish there was a team for people in St. Louis, and I think they would appreciate it more if it were here. You know, because they're just, there isn't, look, you're a couple hours away each direction from like legitimate basketball. Yeah.
Well, I would without a doubt,
college basketball. But
if someone in St. Louis said, for a variety of reasons, accessibility, how good they're going to be, their building, taking a trip to see them, or even if they just wanted to pick a team and not be a complete front runner and just like pick the Warriors, I would probably say pick the Memphis Grizzlies. And I'm biased because I live there, but they have two incredible core young players that they're building around. A guy in John Morant who will, I think, win an MVP 1 year, might end up being what Derrick Rose could have been if he had stayed healthy, just in terms of what he can do for that franchise. Right. They've got Jaren Jackson. They've got a great head coach. They've got, I think, a great organization. It's an easy trip. You know, you can get into the building and watch a game, but they've got really, really, really good young, fun players. And if you kind of jump on the bandwagon, if you're wanting to now, you can kind of, you know, experience as much of the career arc as you want to, as these guys kind of make that team their own. And they're just, you know, they have a legitimate bona fide superstar on their team,
or you
superstar
can be
in the making.
And you can be disappointed many years, but there, hey, a lot of things are looking up. You mentioned LaVine and Vucevic, and these two guys, once they get used to one another,
but
I think
you know,
it's gonna be a lot of fun to watch. They're gonna play off each other really well.
You know what's gonna happen though?
What?
We're all gonna convince themselves that cap space is gonna lead to a couple of marquee free agents, you know, coming, and just the Bulls have been bamboozled by some of these guys so often over the last couple of decades.
No, yeah, I'll tell you what's going to happen. You want to know what's going to happen? It's going to be LaVine, Vooch,
Dwayne Wade, and Melo.
No. Yeah. And a certain guy that I mentioned earlier who's going to become a free agent, I believe, in one season.
Oh, Bradley Beal.
That's right. How about that trio? There's your big three.
Buckets. They'd score 160 points.
There's
a
your
game.
Big three. Now you're talking about something. See, I grew up a Bulls fan because, you know, in the early 90s, MJ came around. And that was the closest. It was the closest team to St. Louis. So it was easy. How could you not be a Bulls fan if you're, a seventh grader and Michael Jordan comes into existence? Like, how could you not be that? And it was easy for me. And it's been kind of thin since then. You know, the Derrick Rose thing was exciting for a minute because they finally got a dude to replace MJ.
Ranji,
but it never worked out that well.
Dalibor Bagaric.
What about him?
Corey Benjamin.
Oh,
God. Rusty LaRue.
Yeah.
Eddie Robinson and $40 million.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to talk to you about 2001, 2002 Charles Oakley with gray hair. I'm going to talk to you about Dragan Tarlak, Danielle Marshall, Trenton Hassell, John Starks for a couple of games until the situation was so untenable that he had to be forcing his way out. John Starks wore a Bulls uniform.
Again, it just hasn't been as good as the MJ years.
Remember that Dalibor Bagaric like that? Is he coming over this year? He sucked.
Yeah.
But it was like he was like an unknown and he was going to be like the Bulls, like, Dirk Nowitzki.
Well, it's the same thing like when there's a really good Japanese player in baseball that you're like, you got to go sign this guy. He's going to be great. Same thing. There's an unknown there. You don't know if they can come in and contribute immediately, but that dude didn't.
Chris Ranji, you're the best.
Are we doing a draft or something or no?
Do you have time? You were talking about Peaky Blinders.
Let's do a top three. Let's get through three. We'll go three rounds here.
Ranji, it was going to be three anyway. So shut your mouth.
I don't want you to do like let five me talk. Or ten. Okay, I'm listening.
God, I'm not called the Chris Ranji complaining session.
Well, I feel like I gotta keep you in line here.
Well, you gotta play the hits. All right. You were talking about Peaky Blinders.
Yep.
These guys are badasses. You were talking about Jim, maybe not the best wingman at the bar. The draft is, including yourself, you are selecting three other members of your rat pack, and you are selecting them from television shows. These three men or women will be your crew. So what are you thinking about? Are you just going out and trying to see who can shoot and score? Are you trying to go out and get into fights? You mentioned George Clooney. Do you want to be buddies with, I guess, none of his movie characters? Because I said TV, so maybe ER. Maybe you want a doctor in the house. I was going to say like Danny Ocean, but that's a movie. So
okay,
three characters from any television show, any role, that are rounding out your rat pack. You like that?
Oh my God. This is all right. I feel like, all right, we're going to do this on the fly. I'm going to let you pick first.
Tim Riggins
is
Friday Night Lights.
Okay.
Taylor Kitsch. First of all, just the ultimate badass, got your back, bro. Yeah. In a time in your life when you need that. Second of all, the dude's in high school for like a decade. So he could buy beer for the group. He has access to vehicles whenever. Smooches tons of babes. He's just Tim Riggins. You haven't watched Friday Night Lights either? Man.
No, I saw the movie.
The movie is depressing and not great. And
that's all I saw.
TV show's unbelievable. And there are a few different players that I'd consider letting join my crew. But Tim Riggins is, that's my... It's my right-hand man. Okay. That's the straw that stirs the drink. All right, you're up.
Okay, so it's got to be TV, not movies.
Correct.
All right, so I'm going with I got a little recency bias here. I'm going to go with Arthur Shelby, who is the
is
main
that the Peaky Blinders guy?
Yeah, that's him. The because he's the brother of the main character, Tommy Shelby, and he will do.
Oh, you're not taking the main dude?
No,
Tommy.
No. You said I want a rat pack. I want a guy who will do.
I wasn't criticizing, I was clarifying. For those of us who aren't such, maybe not blinder enthusiasts, maybe know him more casually. So hang on. So he is he like the real scary looking dude?
He's the oldest brother, and he's the one that will fight anybody that you ask him
to. Yes.
He's the guy that's he's kind of a wild card and he's a bit of a liability.
He's got kind of the mustache thing going on, right?
Whatever Tommy asks him to do, that blanker will go and do it. So Arthur Shelby, he's my dude. I'm going with him because I think he'll take care of anything you need him to.
That's a great pick. Okay. And you also have to think about like enjoyment of hanging out with these guys. It would have sucked to hang out with Walter White, right? Like that guy's a dork, a weirdo, and a psycho. My next pick to join my crew, my Rat Pack, is Andy from Parks and Rec, Chris Pratt.
Okay. Again.
Another show you haven't watched?
Not really. No.
Ranjit, what do you watch,
No, actually,
man?
No. I haven't watched that at all. I'm thinking of the show Community. I've seen some episodes of Community. But no, I haven't seen a whole lot of Parks and Rec. Sorry, buddy.
I just have a couple of lovable bros right now in my crew. Morale is going to be high at all times.
Okay.
I can't. Wow. What do you watch?
I just told you what I'm watching right now.
Okay, what are
I'm
your
watching,
like,
I'm watching
four
a show about a crime syndicate in
Chris,
the 1920s in
I've asked you multiple times other shows that you watch or that you love, and you have simply offered more and more vivid detail of Peaky Blinders.
That's all I'm watching right now.
Okay, how about ever? Have you ever watched another show?
Yeah, of course I have. What was the show I was watching before?
You know
what I was
watching? No. Come up with it, and you still mentioned Peaky Blinders again. You're going to say, what was the show I watched before Peaky Blinders?
Hey, hold on. I got my I think I have my number two pick. And I'm going with recency bias here.
Is it the main guy from Peaky Blinders?
No, dude, I'm not going to. No, it was the show that it's the show that I was watching before Peaky Blinders. All right. And it's a show nobody's going to know.
Oh, God.
Nobody's going to know. Hold on a second. Have you heard of The Expanse on Prime?
Of course not. What is it? BBC adaptation? Of course.
It's actually a terrific show. It's really, really good. And it's sort of a cult classic right now.
Of course
like,
it is.
It's got a pretty big following.
Ranji is so hip to this.
All right. So listen to me. So it's about like, I don't know, it's a space show, right? Like these people are in space. My second pick for wingmen is a guy named Amos.
God Amos. Damn it. You are totally defeating the purpose of.
No, listen, Amos Burton. And here's the reason I'm taking him. Because, again, if I get into a scrap, this dude will kill anybody I ask him to kill.
Like, wow. He'd never get caught because nobody knows who he is.
He's your dude. Yeah. Like he will take care of you. He will. So right now I'm protected. Okay.
Right. And my guys are going to be like,
no, here's what's going to happen to you. You're going to be out at the bar hanging out with these dudes and they're going to piss off the wrong person. You're not going to have anybody to clean up the mess. I got two guys to help me clean up the mess.
Yeah. If you call swimming and babes a mess, then consider me messy.
Because you're going to be swimming and maybe some other dude's babes and he's going to come over with a weapon. I'm covered. I got Arthur Shelby and Amos Burton and they will freaking murder you.
Man, I am so excited for your last pick to be General Stonewall Jackson from Ken Burns' Civil War. All right, my third pick.
You also didn't give me any time to prepare for this.
Chris, I thought of it when I told you. And you literally, it would have been a great bit, though, if you just went all guys from Peaky Blinders.
I should have done that. But I'm thinking about all of them, and I don't know if I want them all on my crew.
I'm thinking of a couple. I kind of want to go off the grid.
Yeah. Like I've done.
Yeah. Like when Drew Silva took Diners, Drive-Ins and Dives with Guy Fieri as one of his Mount Rushmore Desert Island shows, only shows you can ever watch for the rest of time. Because,
that's interesting.
Because he cited the volume, the able to jump in on any episode. Like it would be really fun to hang out with Guy Fieri all the time. I bet it would be a freaking blast, man. He's a huge celebrity, rich as hell, great food, but people just like giving him crap. So I'm trying to think of something off the beaten path, something a little bit out there. I'm getting some muscle, Stringer Bell from The Wire.
Oh, okay. They're good. You got some. I thought you might have gone Omar. I heard he's a badass too.
Dude, you don't want to hang out with that guy. He's terrifying. He'd murder you.
Okay. Well, do you think Stringer Bell wouldn't?
Listen, man. He was taking college courses. He took the reading glasses off, gave you that little charming smile.
Okay.
He tricked you into thinking that he wasn't going to murder you.
Don't totally ruin it for me because I got to finish watching that show. All right. So
whenever the Blinder Boys give you permission.
Yeah, I've got.
I can't wait for your terrible, just really, really niche pick here.
No, this shouldn't be too niche. You should be able to figure this out. It did come down to two different people for me. The people that just off the top of my head,
from
my number three pick is Saul Goodman.
Good one. Good one. And great.
Because I think he'd be a lot of fun to hang out with. He's charming. He's funny. And if I get into some kind of
practical application,
if I get into trouble.
And if your boys are running around murdering people, right, you can take care of them.
Right. Exactly. I have legal representation.
Like, you never need to say, let me call my lawyer, because he's
right there
in the wars with you.
Yeah. So Saul Goodman. And I was actually thinking of it was between him. Well, let me get your final pick. Or you did. You already did. It was between him and, have you ever seen Deadwood?
I have not. Okay. I hear people say great things about it.
It's a very good show.
Any Timothy Oliphant character would be a fantastic wingman.
There is a
But character. You're going to go like a...
not him. It's not Timothy
Oliphant. You're going deep. Of course it's not. Because why would it be?
It isn't a deep cut. It's probably the best character in the show. It's Al Swearengen, and anybody who's watched the show and is listening to this will know exactly what I'm talking about when I say Al Swearengen. It'll be like, oh my God, that dude. Yes, that dude's you don't know what you're going to get from him. You're going to get either, money. You're going to get drunk. You're going to have a great time with him, or he's going to get you killed. But
yeah, I need to watch it.
Colorful language. He's one of the great. He actually legitimately, no joke, is one of the great television characters in history. He's awesome. Very well written.
Is that a subtitle show?
It is not. It's the Old West. So you can kind of understand those people. 2-3 seasons. And part of the problem with, and they did end
sounds
up
a little making, outdated though, Chris, which is why well, the no, office because doesn't it's, pass the sniff test for you.
Well, you know, it's the thing about the show is it was so good. I think they got through two seasons and they didn't do a third because HBO decided it was too expensive to produce, like the way they were making it was just costing them too much money. So they stopped. And they went like 15 years between that second. It was either 2 or 3 seasons. That final season, which didn't it, like there was no ending. It just felt very unfinished. And then they came back and they made a movie. I don't know if you remember a couple of years ago, there's a Deadwood movie that came out and they sort of like tried to tie up all the loose ends in it. But
that's a tough task when you have people who are like rabid fans of the show. Did the movie do it justice?
Was it pretty good? Well-received? I mean, it's as good as you can do for
It probably deserves, unless you make it a 5-hour movie.
Yeah, it deserved another season or two. Like it really did. That show was so damn good. It's very, very good.
Man, all right. Yeah. Well, I will check it out as soon as you check out The Office.
Yeah, if you like the F word, which I know you do. I think they set a record for the amount of time they say that in the show.
But I like when you say it more.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great. It's they put Peaky Blinders to shame with the amount of F's in that show.
Chris Ranji, your crew is scary.
Yeah.
Your crew is very Peaky Blinders specific and focused.
Yep. Kind of.
Peaky Blinders kind of is your North Star. It seems.
For now. I'm
I like that.
Thanks for having me again.
Lose my number.
You got it.